I speak to you in the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. It would be a really easy sermon to look at the Old Testament reading and the parable today and say, well, we just got to be persistent and let's move on. So easy. But the truth of the matter is we have a bit of a doozy of a parable today. Such a doozy that when my husband said, what are you preaching on? And I told him which parable, he was like, ooh, that's a tough one, Rachel. Because with this parable, nothing is quite as easy as it seems. And actually, that is the challenge with any parable that Jesus gives us. Anytime we think we have the easy answer, we likely have missed the entire point, much like all of the disciples. Parables can easily trick us to, that's the good person, that's the bad person. I mean, who helped the Samaritan? Who welcomed his son home? Who found the lost coin or pearl? And when we jump to these quick conclusions, we lose both the nuance and the deeper meanings that Jesus is trying to give to us. Today's parable is an excellent example. And I went and I looked up one of my favorite commentators, Amy Jill Levine, as I knew that she had written about this parable. And as I read what she had to say, it quickly crossed off every great idea I had for this sermon, and all of it got tossed right into the trash can. Dr. Levine, or Amy Jill as we like to call her in women's Bible study, assuming that she was on the couch with us, and she was one of our authorities. And if you don't know who she is, come see me later. You want to know about her. She makes several points to explain why this parable is not about a good little widow and a bad little judge. First of all, let's start with Jesus' line at the start of this passage where the gospel writer says, Jesus told this parable to explain how to pray always and not to lose heart. Guess what? Jesus didn't probably say that at all to anyone. In fact, the gospel writer probably put that in, trying to explain maybe what Jesus was trying to say in this parable. So, wow, not so helpful. And then let's look at the widow. Now, we like to think of widows. Don't you just kind of see them? They're like old and they're hunched over. And they like don't have a lot of money, and life is very hard for them. And I can tell you, the widows in this parish would beat me up. Yeah, that's not the widows. Definitely not the widow in this story. Because if the widow has time to be so persistent with this judge, then she likely had means off which she could live off of. Because she had extra time on her hands. She is empowered enough to go hound, pester, annoy, and actually threaten the unjust judge to make a judgment in her favor. And in fact, when the judge later says, lest she continue, I forget, I don't have it in front of me, to pester me, the real actual word is lest she hit me, box me, give me a black eye. The Greek word is very specific. It's only used one other time in the New Testament, and it definitely has a sense of force to it. So this is not some poor little widow. And the judgment that she is asking for isn't to make anybody's life better other than her own. She's not asking for a judgment that's going to feed the poor or clothe the needy or heal someone. Go back and read it. The judgment that she seeks is to have vengeance against another person. Not exactly a Jesus move here, right? The widow has no respect for this judge, and she just badgers him to find in her favor. And then we have the judge. I mean, Jesus makes it pretty clear that he's an unjust guy who only cares about himself. Seems like they might be a match made in heaven. And we don't know why the judge isn't finding in the widow's favor. Maybe the other guy had a case. Maybe we don't know. We just know that the widow wants her justice. And we know that the judge gets worn down by her and in the end grants her the vengeance that we seek. Jesus doesn't even say that it's a just judgment, just that the judge got worn down. So we can make a lot of assumptions in between the storylines to make it okay, because we want the parable to be okay, right? We want what Jesus gave to us to speak to us and to make us feel better and sustain us for our time together. But maybe we need to sit in the discomfort that this parable brings forward. We don't like that. But what if we just thought that maybe Jesus is speaking to us? Maybe giving us the opportunity to hold up a mirror. Where is it that we are being unjust? Where is it that maybe we're seeking vengeance for our own benefit? Maybe Jesus is reminding us that God doesn't act out of vengeance, nor is prayer actually going to be answered by persistence. Well, maybe. Prayer isn't a miracle drug that if you do it enough, you get what you want. God is not a game of Go Fish or Old Maid. But I will say that persistence in prayer is a miracle drug, and that if you do it enough and consistently, you end up with a closer relationship with God. You end up with a better understanding of your faith, and that relationship and that faith can and will sustain you no matter what it is you face. And so when we sit with the uncomfortable characters in this parable to find where we are, Dr. Levine also points out what Jesus does consistently talk about in his parables. Jesus is concerned with economic justice. That is a theme that comes up again and again and again. Jesus is concerned about relationships. And Jesus is definitely concerned about how we prioritize our lives. Jesus again and again and again talks about economic justice in that all people deserve to have their basic needs met. All people deserve to be cared for. You know, in our baptismal covenant, where we promise to respect the dignity of every human being, part of respecting everyone's dignity is to ensure that there is enough food and shelter and access to medicine for all people. Economic justice isn't just about giving a dollar or an hour of my time to help those in need, but it is actually participating in undoing the unjust systems that created those needs. And you want to talk about uncomfortable? That's where we all get really uncomfortable. And yet, striving towards economic justice is the foundation of every one of our outreach ministries. Jesus always cares about relationships. And that's another part of this parable that's so perplexing. The relationship here is simply transactional. I bug you, I bug you, I bug you. Fine, I'll give you what you want. That's not Jesus. Jesus, actually, the relationships that Jesus cares about are relationships that support and sustain one another, that are relationships that are life-giving, that are healing, the relationships that are there in a moment when you need them, that pray for you and with you. They're the relationships that we work to foster here at St. Cross. And Jesus definitely cares about how we prioritize our lives. That might actually be the most uncomfortable for all of us. Where is God in your life? Not here while we're all in church, although we should be paying attention to that too. But it's easy to be like, well, God's in my life. I come to church on Sundays. Check. Where is God in a normal day for you? And I think the staff member who brought up my talking about God audits a few months ago, because that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Stopping and taking a look at where do we prioritize God in our daily life? Where is God showing up for us? Where are we showing up for God? Paying attention to the priority that we give that relationship among all of the others in our life. It is the time of year where we take our gospel readings and then we talk about stewardship. And it would be easy for me to say, well, be persistent in your giving and it's all going to be just fine. But actually, I think you can say that I have the persistence of the widow today, only not for selfish gain. I have persistence of the widow in hopes of economic justice and relationships and prioritizing our lives in the right way. I am persistent in praying with each of you to prayerfully consider what you will call, what you will give to St. Cross in the coming year. And right about now is when I hear everybody's ears go, phew, she's done with the gospel reading, don't care about the rest of this. She's going to tell me the same thing about stewardship she says every year. And I am going to say, go home and pray. I'm dead serious about this. Think about what you're giving. If you are giving the same amount, why are you giving the same amount? And have you discussed that with God? If you need to give less, that is fine. Why are you doing that? And discuss that with God. Do you have the ability to do more? That is great. Go home and discuss that with God. Because what I don't want is any of us to come in here next week and fill out the card with the same thing that we've always done because it's what we do and go home. Because that is not being in right relationship with God or your money or your church. We have been blessed in so many ways. We are blessed as the St. Cross community, and we'll hear more about that later. But I challenge us today. How do we follow Jesus in sharing what we have? How do we follow Jesus so that we can stay in right relationship with those who are important to us in our lives? How do we follow Jesus so that we can work together and encourage one another to put God first? And then to see the change that that not only brings to us, but to the world around us. How is it that we do justice to our relationship with God and share our blessings with others? That does indeed include making a pledge next Sunday. Parables do not always deliver easy, comfortable messages to the followers of Jesus. And that's okay. Because we have this community, we have St. Cross, where we can acknowledge that we are in the struggle together. And together, we will seek out and continue to find and build and sustain God's kingdom in our community. Amen.